You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to the Lorehounds, the preferred pop culture soap opera for sec units that have hacked their governor modules. I'm John, and I'd like you to take a seat so that we can talk about your feelings.
Hi, and I'm Alicia, standing here wondering what I'm going to do with this walking stick and shell-based wind chime I made for our murdered colleagues on the other side of the planet.
Spoilers for the first three episodes of Murderbot. We do have screeners, but we've not watched ahead. Never fear, we're not going to spoil it. And Alicia, you've read the first novella and some more?
Yeah, I've read about the first novella and about a third of the next one. Although I've paused it now because I'm reading A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms again.
it's a good series, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. I actually did end up finishing the first Murderbot novella over the weekend. I was like, you know what, I'm this far through, I'm just going to finish it. It's pretty short, and it was good. It was, honestly, I liked it better towards the end. So, looking forward to seeing the rest of the season.
Yeah, me too. And it feels like they're pulling forward some little things. Like they bring up one thing that wasn't in the first book. So I did Google it, and then I saw, oh, it's a thing from a future book. Look away, look away.
That's always the game with you know, I'm reading a couple of series right now that have a lot of big reveals, and I'm like, I just can't Google anything. I just have to live with it. It is what it is. So what was your hot take on this season? On this episode, my God.
Yeah, I mean, this was a really short episode. So episode three, risk assessment, only 23 minutes. I was honestly surprised to see that. I checked the runtime like halfway through because I felt like it felt longer than that in a good way to me. Like the pacing was really on point. So it felt like they packed in a short runtime. And yeah, I'm enjoying these short seasons.
Mm.
What did you think of this one?
I think that was not the kind of cliffhanger I like, you know, like
okay.
What's going to happen, you know, is that person going to die? I don't love that kind of cliffhanger, but, and I do think that this would have done better as a 40-minute episode that actually finished whatever was happening.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly what they're planning to cover in the next episode. Maybe that'll be longer and then it'll make sense.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the episode overall. Like the tone is still working for me.
Mm-hmm.
I am enjoying watching Murderbot through the world and you know, throw up the hollow screen to watch their shows, it shows, whatever the pronoun is now for Murderbot. But yeah, I will say Rati is my favorite now. He's
okay.
So funny the whole time. I love that comic relief. And Mensa is just very wholesome, and I appreciate that.
No, I love Mensa. Yeah, I mean, as far as the cliffhanger, it's one of those ones also where it's like, oh, we're supposed to believe that maybe the character the show is named after is dead in the third episode. Seems unlikely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also, I mean, we just finished Andor, which is a whole story that's a prequel for somebody we know is alive at the end, right? So So right. anytime you would have like had him at gunpoint, it would have felt silly to end an episode there. And I right. do think it felt a little silly to end the episode here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the, and even, I'm even saying this as a book reader, I guess the real cliffhanger for me is who or what is that, you know, the whoever's in black, is that another sec unit? Is that a human? Is that what? Yeah. The person who shot.
Who knows? But I guess we should figure that out next. We got to talk about the plot.
Yeah. I guess that's an episode 4.
You want to read it for us?
Sure. So the plot of this episode is picking up where episode 2 left off. Murderbot joins Mensa, Arata, Pinley, and Rati to travel around the world to visit the non-responsive Deltfall base on the other side. Garathan and a still-healing Bardwaj stay behind to mine the base, where Garathan finds her crying through her creature attack PTSD and comforts her awkwardly. Once the rest of the team arrives near the Deltfall base, Rati, who slept through weapons training, stays on the ship while the others follow Murderbot toward the base, and Murderbot heads inside solo and finds the team and their 3 contracted sec units dead, or so it thinks. While the one trying to protect the communications unit was very dead, one of the other 2 was only playing dead. Murderbot is able to overpower the damaged unit using software to predict its moves. Murderbot notices that the sec unit has a combat override module installed, and then someone in all black walks around the corner, shooting an arm laser directly at Murderbot. Fade to black.
I thought this was a fun adventure. You know, that's most of what I could say about this. There is this developing mystery of what's happening to this other, Deltfall
right.
habitat. We'll see, I guess, in the next episode if we figure some of that out.
Yeah. Yeah. The humor is still quite on point for me. I like Garothin's like, is just saying full out in front of Murderbot. They probably have better sec units than ours. Murderbot's like, harsh, but fair.
Yeah. 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 No, I, the self-deprecation is fun. It's, yeah. It's working for me, the whole thing.
I did want to point out that they talk a lot about these beacons. That's a whole thing in the book that you can send up these beacons that, that basically call the company to come rescue you in case of trouble. So that's why, you know, they were debating. Garothan's like, we could just send up the beacon now and leave. And Mensa's like, no, the company will not say that we failed because we're a free planet. You know. So, yeah, that's, I guess, one of the things they're going to be looking into with this other.
Yeah.
It's they were like, well, the fact that they didn't send the beacon, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Well, it certainly is not a good thing.
Yeah. I do think we have these, you know, as much as it's a light show in terms of comedy, like we do have these developing tensions of one, you have this external force attacking Deltfall, we see.
Mm-hmm.
2, you have the internal, is Murderbot, you know, they don't even call it Murderbot, right? They just call it Sec Unit. Mm-hmm. Is this Sec Unit rogue? What mm-hmm. are we going to do about that? And if it is, they can't agree on that either. And then 3, this like political aspect of, you know, us versus the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Yeah. I mean, for a 20-minute show, they amped up exactly. every one of those, which I thought was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was this key moment from the books that was in the show where, so I find a lot of the changes that they make from the book to the show to be good because they're expanding things, you know, and I quite like it. This one I'm not sure about. So it's this moment that really stuck with me from the book. The show version is Mensa asks Murderbot to keep its helmet down. She says, so the others remember that you were part of the team. And Murderbot says, who the hell ever said I was part of a team? So in the book version, that happens a bit later. And we get Mensa waiting on the ramp to talk to Sec Unit and says, you know, I know you're more comfortable with keeping your helmet opaque, but the situation has changed. We need to see you. And Murderbot doesn't want to do it because they know too much already about it. and they want to, Murderbot just wants to watch TV basically in the helmet right. and all that. Yeah. It's better if humans can think of me as a robot, it says. And she says, maybe under normal circumstances, she was trying not to make eye contact, which I appreciated, but this situation is different. It would be better if they could think of you as a person who is trying to help, because that's how I think of you. I don't know. That just feels a bit warmer to me. And sometimes And maybe it's because of the short episodes. Sometimes the characters feel a little more curt in the show.
Yeah, that's probably true. I wonder why they went with such a short runtime. Like, I know the novella is like 96 pages, right? It's not long. Mm-hmm. It's I get that. But I wonder why they didn't flesh it out a little bit more.
I mean, I guess maybe they're thinking it's a low barrier to entry like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Or also and, keeps costs down.
Yeah. And you know, I do think we undervalue short TV these days. You know, everything's mm-hmm. an hour and or 45 minutes at least. And then you're like, oh, do I really want to sit that long sometimes? Sometimes yeah. it's nice to just have a quick comedy on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I think, and to be honest, I have been rewatching the episodes that we have seen so far. So
nice.
And just because it's short, it makes it really easy to rewatch before bed.
Yeah. Nice and yeah. short. I've just been binging classic Doctor Who. That's been my before bed show.
Yeah, I decided I'm going to go watch the first episodes, the ones that feature Susan for no particular reason.
Are you talking about her introduction or her? Okay.
Her introduction. And then what? How long is she around?
Two seasons. She's
two seasons.
Or like a
okay.
season and a half, I think. And they're like 40 something episodes a season at first.
Okay. So I'm thinking like her introduction and her goodbye, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I have to be honest with you, and this is not a Doctor Who podcast. We'll get to that later in the week, or I guess tomorrow from when this airs. But Susan is not the most developed character. I don't think you really need to watch too much of her to get right. the gist.
Right, right. Okay, I'm going to watch those, and I'm going to watch, I think, The Five Doctors.
Okay.
That's the last time she was there, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah. I already did all the episodes with the other character, but anyway, that's the other. But speaking of Murderbot, what did you think of Garothin's? Well, okay, so we have Garothin trying very awkwardly to comfort Bharadwaj, but in saying, like, I have some behavior therapy, like to play them. They're nonspecific, like, don't tell me your stuff. They're nonspecific. And Bharadwaj is basically like, yeah, I think I'm okay. Mr. obviously doesn't want to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get Murderbot judging him. Murderbot would have done way worse, don't you think?
Yeah. I do think this is, you know, and I'm not neurotypical either, so I just want to make that clear here.
Uh-huh.
I do think these are two neurodivergents with conflicting communication patterns
mm-hmm.
that are having trouble seeing eye to eye, but don't see that they have a lot of the same traits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
I think we're supposed to note the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
What did you think Garothin sneaking into Mensa's room to smell her pillows was about? Was that like a motherly thing or like a girlfriend thing or something else?
Oh, he's straight up Homelander. He's looking in the fridge for some. I'm not going to say it.
Oh, no. Don't make me think of Mensa like that.
He's already looking in the fridge.
She's already got apparently more than two spouses. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he keeps it all bottled up.
Yeah. No, that was an interesting twist because he did also say in the previous episodes that she's the one who brought him into the Preservation Alliance in the first place.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I think he's the one who's most resistant to seeing sec units as people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was funny. This is basically no more of a machine than Garothin is, Rati says. And inside Murderbot's head, oh, hold on. I definitely am more machine than he is.
That's funny. You know, it's funny. You know, I brought up neurodiversity before because that's a part of the show, right? Like Murderbot mm-hmm. is in large part like a metaphor for neurodivergence. And I do think Garothin is sort of a counterpoint for him, right? He's mm-hmm. sort of somebody who has similar traits in this metaphorical parallel, but they just can't get along. And it almost reminds me of Tolkien talking about his son, where he said he's such a curmudgeon and such a all this, and he goes, and he reminds me exactly of myself. he like complains about him, and he's like just like me.
Yeah, well, sometimes we get most irked by. Mm-hmm. traits that we have ourselves when we see them
ourselves in them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. Rati is delightful. He just has no concept of invading Murderbot's space on the trip over and starts talking about like clone parts and feelings. That scene's basically straight from the book. But it's funny how everyone else is like, leave it alone. He's like, oh, I'll just go apologize. No, stop.
Yeah, the comedy there was good. That's what I'm saying. I love Rati. I love when he forgets to turn his mic off later. And he's like, oh, you were hungover, so you missed the combat training. And everybody's like, oh, my God, dude. Yeah.
And then Mensa's like, okay, Murderbot, she doesn't say that. Okay, sec unit, new comms just for us.
Yeah. That is the thing in the book, too, is she often opens up channels just between them, right? And it's like, All right, let's just chat for a minute, because the other ones are a little weird sometimes.
Yeah, it can be a bit much with all of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course they've amped up versus what we've read in the book so far, at least this whole thruple thing. And that's also something like Murderbots seems curious about, but also grossed out by. And, you know, it's interesting to see how these, like, Arata seems oblivious to the fact that Pinley's not comfortable with the situation. And Rati, of course, is oblivious to everything.
You know, next week on Seeking Sister Wife, we are going to have quite the drama.
I wonder if there's a we got this time the show's Strife in the Galaxy was the new show this week, which Murderbot says is so unrealistic.
But he's watching it anyway.
Yeah. But I feel like Seeking Sister Wife could be another TV show in this world.
I'm sure it is. Look, reality TV will never die at this point. It's a drug that we can't quit.
I also like, okay, so Pinley says, you know, they do their weapons training mostly on games. And Rati's like, they're amazing on Killjoy, Bloodlust, Tech Riot. I'm like, what a name.
I have no idea what games would be in this universe, but but I kind of want to try them, you know?
Yeah, Killjoy, Bloodlust, Tech Riot. I'm not really much of a first-person shooter, but it's interesting. Okay, so what was also interesting about this exchange is that, Rati gave Pinley a compliment. Pinley says, thank you. And then Arata's like, what? I didn't know you played that. And Pinley says, I don't. So what is that about? Why is Pinley lying about playing this game that they've clearly been playing?
I don't know. Maybe it's just embarrassed about being a gamer. You know, now there's still... It's going away, but there's still like the stigma of like, oh, well, you can sit on your couch and watch TV for 6 hours. But if you do that with a video game, you got a problem. You know, that's still a thing that is like a weird attitude that people have sometimes. I don't know. Maybe that they're saying that's still around over there.
Or maybe Arata thinks it's too violent or something.
Maybe. Violent video games are fun, though. I got to say. Sorry, Marilyn.
I don't dislike violent video games, but I do really like the ones where I get to walk around and like talk to everyone in the magical town. And
and then you call a dragon down and then you fight the dragon and then we're all fighting.
But they're not, because the satellite goes down and we find out that Pinley has been tracking regular outages with the satellite and hasn't found a pattern yet, but that feels like something we should be paying attention to. And then we get this reminder that sec units are required to spy on their charges for the company. And then basically everyone turns on a dime on Murderbot except for Mensa.
Oh, that was not great. That and the what you're just about to read. I see it in your notes. That was a terrible, terrible move by Murderbot.
Yeah. Says, you don't mean to harm any of us, do you? Pause. My job is to protect you from harm. You just took quite a pause before saying that. Yes. Very reassuring.
Murderbot's going to lay awake at night thinking about that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something that I didn't really consider when reading the book, even that they bring up here, which I think is interesting. They go, you know, and maybe, did you say it was a direct lift? Maybe I just forgot it. But this idea of like, oh, you have organic tissue, so that means you have feelings, and like I didn't consider that.
That's in the book, yeah.
Okay, well then I just forgot it. Yeah. But I do like that idea of like it's not just machine, right? It's got this baseline of emotion that is making it feel completely socially awkward in every situation.
Yeah. But then, you know, I mean, so obviously the question we're focusing on is how human is Murderbot? But then the question extends from there. What about other AI that doesn't have organic parts?
Good question. Good question.
So the thing that I was saying that was brought up that I see must be from a future book because it is in the Wikipedia is something about Rati says, we should remember our history, Captain Makeba, the rescue and all that.
Hmm.
So that's something.
What is that?
Yeah, that's not in the first book, but it's in the Wikipedia the Murderbot wiki. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The fandom dot whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
But question though. So Rati, when after this, they're being nice to Murderbot again, and they're like, okay, we're going to do our little huddle thing where we all hold hands. And Rati says to Murderbot, get in here. And Murderbot's like, no. Is that considered, does that count as a direct order that was ignored?
Yes, absolutely. It does. I think Murderbot's just exposing itself already.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I had that same thought too when I watched it. I was like, oh, I wonder why Garothan. Oh, was Garothan there? He was, right?
No, Garothan was back at the.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say Garothan would have been like, hey, look.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's true. The others were distracted by the satellites going down and the other worries. Yeah.
Okay.
But they might later come back to it and be like, wait a minute.
Right. We'll see. All right. You want to take a quick break and then we'll come back and finish this episode?
Let's do that.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
And we're back, and we took quite a long pause before saying that. So what else you got for me? You got something about Mensa?
Yeah. So Mensa also, we have this moment on the transport over where Mensa just starts telling Murderbot all of her shit about that she's worried as the leader of this expedition that they haven't found anything valuable yet. No resources or information, but they need to stay economically independent because some of her old colleagues in Preservation Alliance actually want to join the corporation RIM. And she says her family didn't want her to go. Two of her spouses said they thought she was doing it to escape home responsibilities. And Murderbot's like, you're welcome. Can I go back to my show now? but yeah, so we see that there's tension in whatever is going on with Preservation Alliance, where Mensa's just like, we have to make this work. We have to prove it to ourselves. We have to prove it to everyone back home. We have to prove it to the company that we can make this work independently.
Yeah. And that's interesting, you know? It's a Rage Against the Machine moment.
Hmm.
We gotta beat the corporation at their own game.
Right.
Can you, though? That's the question. Can you beat the corporation at its own game, or do you have to change the rules?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what they're trying to do, change the rules. But then in order to expand or whatever they're trying to do with this survey mission, you know, find the resources or information or whatever, they have to still then go back to the company and play within their rules to do this.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, you're just, I don't know if you're ever going to like beat the corporation by buying a contract from them.
Right. And it is interesting that Mensa says all this to Murderbot, knowing that it sends data back to the company.
I wonder how much Mensa suspects
that
Murderbot has stopped doing that.
Hmm.
Yeah. I feel like Mensa is pretty trusting of Murderbot.
Yeah, but Murderbot does have to send at least some data back so as to not out itself.
That's true. That's true.
But can be selective, I presume.
Yeah, I wonder how much Murderbot is sending.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough to be like, no, everything's fine here going forward. Yeah. Leave us alone.
Yeah. No dead Deltfall. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. My favorite line of the episode, though, was at the start of this conversation with Mensa. What is it with humans and sitting? It's like a fetish to them.
It kind of is. We like a good sit.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to sit to talk. I really liked when they landed at the other site. The other site was much prettier, not just bigger, but also they had all this cool alien flora and fauna, like the rainbow crabs and
yeah,
the cool trees and stuff.
Really puts into perspective how poorsy they're treating the other group, right? They're like, Oh, you guys can slum it.
Yeah. You get that rocky crater.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun.
Yep. They're like, you know what? Move the bodies. We're moving in.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're the ones who are not dead yet. So,
right, that's true. That's true. They gotta get the people with more resources first, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And my other favorite line was once Murderbot goes inside, I've got a visual on one of their security units, and it's an image of the head is half missing. It's on standby.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. So, yeah, do they need help? No. Well, yeah, true. They do not need help. They're beyond that.
Right, right.
But why do you think Murderbot didn't want to tell them that everybody was dead? Because obviously, like, they're not going to accept, well, okay, we'll just live with that mystery for an answer.
I think it was, well, what Murderbot said, I think, was like, was already curious, right? I shouldn't have gone in, but I was already curious. And Murderbot didn't want to get called back. And I think Murderbot knew that if it told Mensa that everybody was dead, Mensa would be like, all right, let's go. Let's go.
Because you think
Murderbot wanted... would have gotten called back, and Murderbot wanted to solve the mystery. Wanted to see what was going on a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
Murderbot's been watching a lot of TV and wants the narrative to finish.
That's true. That's true. Murderbot is probably, there's some detective shows in that.
That's right.
Too. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a whole arc of Sanctuary Moon with a murder mystery.
Oh, for sure. I loved Murderbot faking static. It's like the thing where you're like, oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm going through a tunnel.
You know, it's just thinking about Sanctuary Moon. Wouldn't it be great if they got Catherine O'Hara to star in it? Just like, you know, because Sunrise Bay, whatever it was, her fake show in Schitt's Creek. I feel like if you just did that in space, it would be amazing. Yeah.
Or the one with the ravens, what was it?
Oh, yeah, the crowing or something like that.
I want the... We didn't get enough of that original cast. I thought that they were going to... that we saw of Sanctuary Moon with, like, John Cho and Clark Gregg and stuff.
I wonder if it's just going to be cameos forever.
Yeah, right? I think probably.
I mean, if there's... Wasn't it, like, 500 episodes or something like that? Like, it's like Doctor Who, where they're just, like, constantly replacing people.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I would have loved if they gave us like a through line story within the story, but that's not how they do it in the in the books either. It's just
right.
It makes references to stuff it likes. Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, Murderbot's probably going through these episodes like crazy, right? I mean, at far higher a pace than we could.
Yeah. Do you get the sense that Arata might be a little more dim-witted than the others? Doesn't seem to at least... Well, maybe not. Maybe that's an unfair way to put it. Maybe just more oblivious, I should say. Even more so than Ratzi.
Less common sense, let's say. You know, less situational awareness.
Yeah, like, just like, what do I do with these gifts when I don't know everybody's murdered? Who cares? Drop them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no situational awareness there.
No, no. And then also just like not noticing how uncomfortable Pin Lee is with the whole Ratzi situation. And yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's not a lot of thinking there going on under the cap.
No, no, just like happy to exist, which honestly, I'm jealous.
Yeah, right. Seems like a nice way to live.
Yeah, to put in Andor terms, it must be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that basically takes us to the end of the episode. It was a short episode, but we didn't talk before about the opening credit sequence, which, so most of it's quite clear so far. We've got the sec unit assembly line. We see Murderbot flying through space, which is presumably metaphorical because that's not a Murderbot power. We see the Murderbot guarding the Preservation Aux team on their survey mission and then it being surrounded by them. Can't tell if it seems menacing, but probably they're just asking it about its feelings. But then at the end of that, we see what looks like a bunch of sec units in black or whatever that character was who came in at the end of this episode. It's like there's a bunch of them chasing them down a hill. So I wonder if that's a clue.
It could be. You're making me think of Blue's Clues with my kids. A clue.
Man, I used to watch that. How long has that been on?
Oh, I have them watch the original. You know?
Okay.
You know, you gotta watch the original. Steve. Steve's the only host.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know, 7 more weeks of Murderbot to answer these questions.
We got a lot to go. Not a lot of runtime, though. I mean, but I think it's going to be fun. You know, we'll be here every week. We'll keep talking and we'll have a good time.
Yeah, I hope that more of the episodes are closer to the 30-minute mark. This one was quite short, but we'll see. We'll see. I have not looked ahead.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even if they stay this length, like I did really enjoy this episode. I'm not complaining. If it stays this quality, I'm good the whole season.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, if you want to send us feedback, lorehounds@thelorehounds.com is where to do it. You can get to our Discord in the link tree in the show notes. There's a forum under the spoiler chats with every episode so that you can talk about them separately and not get spoiled for where you are under current shows. And do you want to talk about what we're doing on the network?
Sure. So we're just wrapping up Andor season 2. We're going to have one more roundtable for the public feed and then some extra episodes for subscribers and season pass holders. You guys are just finishing up The Last of Us season 2. So there will be only one more episode left when this comes out.
Yeah.
Same for Doctor Who. Wait, no. This comes out the day before Doctor Who. So two more.
Yeah,
left.
Two more of Doctor Who. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The double finale. And Thunderbolts just came out this week and we're soon going to have time to do more stuff like catch up on 11Z's movie clubs for subscribers.
We're doing our best here. We're catching up.
Two coming up in short order.
Yep. All right. And check out our affiliates. Never mind the music, Radioactive Ramblings, Rings and Rituals, Properly Howard Movie Review, Wool Shift Dust, and the Star Wars Canon Timeline Podcast. Plenty of stuff going on there, whether you want to listen to stuff about music and psychology, Fallout lore. There's a new Fallout date in December, so check out Radioactive Ramblings. I don't know what you have coming, Alicia, but I know you have something coming on Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I keep saying, High Republic content.
Yep.
Someday we're going to talk about the books you read.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Although I started reading one of the Phase 1 novels again, and I was like, oh my God, what happened in the last ones I read? Because it's been so long. So I made ChatGPT summarize it for me.
Well, I'm going to start with Phase 2 because that's the first in the timeline.
Okay.
So your favorite.
I might have to reread because it's been a long time now.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm gonna thank people now. Our Discord server boosters: Aaron K, Tiller the Thriller, Dork the Ninjas, Doof71, Athena A, Tina Lestew, Nancy M, Ghost of Partition, and Radioactive Richard. And our lore masters: Martian, Michael G, Michelle E, Brian P, SC, Peter OH, Adam S, Nancy M, Doof71, Brian8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Matthew M, Sarah M, Andre B, Kwang Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T, Alex B, Sub-Zero, Aaron K, Dally B, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Lestew, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Neil F, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Kali S, Ilmariel, /Tim, Paul K, and Adrian. Thank you very much, everyone, for supporting the show, and we will see you for more Murderbot next week.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.